Colossians 2, where we'll pick up where we left off last week. And we're in a section of Scripture we've already spent a couple of weeks in where Paul is talking about his ministry, his life's work. Everything that he did was aimed at making followers of Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to be found complete in him, mature. And he said that he would toil and he would struggle for this. And so Paul endured a great deal of suffering in his life so that others would know Jesus Christ. He found such joy in Jesus, he wanted more and more people to experience that same joy that they would find through the gospel. And so he devoted all of his energy to its spread. He wanted to see it spread all over the earth. And he wanted to see great care given to those that were under his ministry, that were the ones that he would minister to. And even here in Colossians, as we've seen, is this is a group of people that Paul, some of them he didn't even directly know. He never even met before. But he still labored for them because he loved to see the gospel spread to more people. And so his life's aim was that more and more people would know Jesus Christ. And whether we're aware of it or not, we're all aiming at something in life. We're all aiming at something. Something that we are devoted to doing with our lives. And I'm afraid that many people in our society, even in our churches, aren't intentionally aiming at anything. They're not intentionally aiming at anything. They just let things happen to them. Or possibly they settle onto the path of least resistance. And even then, they are aiming at something. They're aiming at comfort or they're aiming at ease. That's what they've devoted their life to. But anything truly worth having, or anything that's going to last, is going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take struggle and sacrifice and toil. I think many of you all know that relationships are this way, aren't they? And so whether it's marriage or parenting or friendships, now, these all take cultivation and work. And those who know the fruit that these relationships can produce will tell you that they are worth all of the work. They're worth all the effort that a person would put into it. And if we're going to be a people who will achieve the Christian maturity that Paul has been teaching in this section of Scripture, we have to be a people that are willing to work together for it. It's going to take all of us pulling in the same direction, sacrificing for each other, if we will see mature, complete followers of Jesus Christ. And so let's look at our passage today. It's going to be Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where Paul will continue to tell us about his struggle for others to know Jesus. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, God, that through it you desire to instruct us and to make us more like your Son. And so, Lord, please give us ears to hear and a heart that desires to apply it. So that, God, when we leave this place, we'll go into our workplaces, into our homes, and into these neighborhoods that we live in, Lord, more like Jesus, being a light for him. And we ask it in his name. Amen. There's a truth in this passage that we need to know and apply. A truth that we need to know and apply if we desire to grow into the fullness that God desires for us. And I hope that everybody has come into this place this morning with that desire, that you want to grow more like Jesus, that you are hungry for it. I hope that nobody came in here this morning thinking, "I'm exactly where I want to be with God. I don't want to grow anymore. I've got all the knowledge of Jesus that I've already ever wanted to have. I don't need any more of that." I hope that you've come here this morning fully desiring to know Jesus more than you do now, because you want to grow in him. You want your relationship with him to deepen. You want more out of your walk with Christ. And so Paul tells us in this passage what might be holding some of us back, what might be keeping us from this deeper understanding of who Jesus is. And it starts in verse 2. And I think verses 2 and 3 are the central points in this passage that Paul is teaching us this morning. Because he says here, I want everyone that I minister to, verse 2, to be encouraged. I want them to be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And so what is it? What is it that every person in this room needs? To be more wise, to be more joyful, to be more content in your life, even if your circumstances do not change, what is it that you need more of? And the obvious answer from what we've talked about this morning and already read is that we need Jesus. We need more of who Jesus is. So Paul says that we're aiming at reaching all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. We need more knowledge of who Christ is. And I don't just mean a head knowledge. I don't mean just we need to go to more Bible studies. Those are helpful. We need more understanding mentally of who Jesus is and what he wants for us. But what we also need is more experience with Jesus. More experience. And so as you have difficulties in life, as you have joys, Jesus wants to walk alongside of you and experience his grace day to day, that he provides exactly what you need when you need it, that you are trusting in him for everything, and that he becomes more and more the treasure of your life. The thing, the person that you desire more than anything else, this is what Jesus wants for your life. He wants to be the priority day to day. And so Paul makes it clear what we need is more of Christ, and that Jesus is central to everything that God, it's what he's been teaching so far in chapter 1 and 2, that Jesus is central to everything that God has done in the past. And so Jesus was the agent of creation. He made everything. God made everything through Jesus. It was all done through him. But also that everything that God will be doing in the future is also through Jesus Christ. So he has been central in the past. He is central in the future. So it would make sense for all of us this morning to understand that the work that God is doing in our life, if it's going to be completed, Jesus must also be central in it. And so for that to happen, for us to mature in Christ, we must go deeper with Jesus. So for you to grow into this fullness, this maturity that God desires for you, you are going to have to, I am going to have to, strive and struggle. There are going to be roadblocks, there are going to be temptations, there are going to be difficulties along this road. It is going to be work for you and for me, but it is a worthy work. We must all be willing to walk on that path if we desire to reach these riches that Paul is talking about in this passage. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. And I think this is the main point for us this morning that I want you to take away from our time together. Because I think that we could all say that we want that. We all want that, right? We all want to be growing in Jesus. I think that's part of the reason why you're here. You want to know him more. I read that passage out of Philippians chapter 3 where Paul said, I'd be willing to sacrifice everything else if I could just know him more. I'll call it all rubbish or refuse if I could just have Jesus. So hopefully that's our attitude this morning. So here's the main point. If we want to be growing in this direction, in this maturity that Paul is talking about in this passage, this is directly linked. It is directly linked to the unity of love that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at verse 2 again. I want you to see this. So he says that his desire is that their hearts may be encouraged. He wants them to be encouraged. And how is that going to happen? They are knit together in love. And what does this being knit together in love lead to? And he says, this is what leads to us reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding of knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And so if we desire to reach what God wants us to have, we must be knit together in love as a body. We must be. So there is a connection between the love that we have horizontally with each other, inside this church and even beyond the walls of this church with our brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a connection between that horizontal love and the vertical love that we have with Jesus. Those two things are joined together. And so if we want the one, maturity, we must set our hearts and lives to work toward unity and love within the body. So there are a lot of people who want to go on this faith journey alone. They just think, I can just do it alone. All I need is my Bible. I've got the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. God is just going to grow me. And there is a certain point that you can get to with that. A certain knowledge of Jesus, a certain level of maturity that you can attain on your own without anybody else. But God has so designed it that we live in community called a church where we will edify each other, as John mentioned, our spiritual gifts. We love on each other. We take care of each other. We walk alongside each other, carrying burdens and joys. And by doing that, we learn more about Jesus than we would have without it. Does that make sense? And so the unity of love that we have for each other is what leads us to a deeper knowledge of Jesus. Those two things are connected. And so maybe you have been burned in the past. Maybe you've had a series of bad relationships. You've been gossiped about. You've been mistreated. Or maybe you just find it hard to trust people. Well, relationships are messy. They're messy. But they are necessary for you to grow to where God wants you to be. And so you are going to learn more about Jesus, receiving this full assurance, this understanding, this knowledge that Paul's talking about, as you receive love from the church body. You're going to grow in that direction as you receive love. I know some of the stories of the people here this morning. You've told me your story about how the church, even in your past, was so amazing. During some of the lowest times in your life, some of the most fearful times in your life, that God's people showed up. They showed up in such an amazing way that they carried you through those dark and trying times. And so you need to know that it was Jesus loving you during those times. Jesus was walking alongside of you during those times through the church body. And if they had not showed up, or you had not been a part of a connection or a unity of love during that time, your growth in Christ would have been stunted. It would not have grown to where it is now had you not had those experiences with those people. And so Jesus was loving on you through those people. And so if we will attain deeper knowledge of Jesus, it's not just going to happen by going to more Bible studies. It's not just going to happen by coming here this morning and listening to me preach. It is going to happen in all sorts of forums as you take the Word of God with you and minister it in love to one another. That's where the body is truly going to take off and grow. This is a work that all of us are called to, and it is a great work that we get to do together. This is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about what's happening here next week when we come together permanently for one service. I'm excited about that. I hope you're excited about that too. No longer will we be two separate congregations, in a sense, underneath one roof. We're going to come together. We're going to worship together. We're going to learn together. We're going to use our gifts together. Come together in Bible study together, because we want to be unified, have a unity of love inside of this place that we call Kaz Church. And so this really is not about music. I know some people are concerned about the music and how that's going to work its way out. And the music does affect how we worship God, and the songs can be used to give us greater understanding of God and the gospel. But more important, this is more important than what kind of music we sing is the unity of love that we have as we come together to worship. Wouldn't you agree with that? It is more important that we are unified together in love than what song we sing, right? At least I hope that's what it is. Which means when there is a song that you just don't connect to in the coming weeks, you just don't connect to that song, and I think we all probably have those from time to time, you need to know that maybe one of your brothers and sisters in Christ out here is connecting to that. And so we need to sing it. We need to sing that song, even though maybe it's not our song. Sing it fully, knowing that somebody else inside this church is benefiting from those words. Probably those words are speaking to them in that moment. That's exactly where God has them, and they need Him to carry them. And so sing those words with the full assurance of knowing that there is another brother or sister here that really is benefiting from what we're singing together. So, the danger that could happen, in a church is when the goal, and I hope our goal is this, our goal is that Jesus will be central for everything we do. Every ministry that we have, we want it to be something that Christ wants us to do in this place. Every song that we sing on Sunday mornings, that it would be a song that glorifies God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That every time we open up this book to preach or read or teach one another, it is that Jesus would be made much of, that He is central to everything that we do. But the danger that happens in a church is that when Jesus somehow loses priority, He loses His central place in a congregation. And so all kinds of agendas can start to seep into a church that will steer people away from what is most important, and that's Him. And will lead them to something that fractures the unity in Christ that we have. We don't want anything to break that. We want to stay unified and together, not having personal agendas, but having the same agenda for everyone. And I don't want to be misunderstood about what unity of love is. Unity of love is not keeping the peace at all costs. That's not what the unity of love is. So there's going to be a time when times when there's an action or an attitude or a teaching that needs to be corrected. And it is more loving to confront that and not have fracturing of the body than just to leave it alone. Like sometimes our first inclination is when something's just not quite right, you notice something, somebody just seems a little bit off, they're your brother and sister, but you just don't want to say anything to them because you just don't want to confront it, right? So you're a little bit afraid of that. And we think, well, it's just more loving to leave them alone. I think I'll just keep the peace. That's what unity is. Well, that's not the case. We want to be unified around the right things. The right type of love, be unified around the right teaching of the gospel, so that when it is corrected, the health of the body can be restored. So I don't think that anybody goes to the doctor in hopes that when the doctor finds the disease or whatever's wrong with you, that he just says, you know, let's just leave it alone. Let's not mess with that. You know, we don't want to get it upset. We don't want to make that disease mad at us. That's not what we do when we go to the doctor. Because we know that if it's left untreated, things are going to get worse. Well, that's the same way it is inside the church. And so from time to time, we're going to have loving conversations of correction. That is not breaking our unity. That is leading toward unity. So this is how Paul can say in verses 4 and 5. He says, I don't want anybody, Colossian church, I don't want anybody to be able to deceive you with plausible arguments. He wants them to stay firm, he said, having good order in the faith. So the possibility is there, Paul knows it, that somebody could come in teaching something, and it sounds perfectly reasonable. They can connect all the dots, answer all your questions, and it seems like they're teaching the right thing. It sounds right. But something has been lost or something added to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something is missing or something has been added. It's just not exactly the same as when they first received it from Paul. So somebody wants them to keep an extra rule, do something more to gain salvation, or just, you know what, compromise just a little bit. Become more like the culture. Become more palatable to the culture around you. Just be willing to sacrifice that thing that's causing everybody's feathers to get ruffled. If you just give that up, everything's going to be okay. So we don't want to get or add anything to Jesus, nor do we want to subtract anything from Him and His gospel. That's what Paul's concern is for this church. And we have to be on the lookout for these things as well. Because there are a number of voices around us, whether it's in the media, it could be in some of our churches, it might be in some of the books that you are reading. You know, they have well-crafted arguments that are very persuasive. You want to follow these people because they sound right. But we need the whole body together, working together, discerning whether or not these things are true by what we have in the Word of God. Do we believe the Word of God is sufficient, that God tells us what we need to know here, or does the culture know something that we do not about how a church is supposed to function or how the gospel is to go out into the world? And so we need to know that the Word is sufficient, and so is Jesus. Because if they, the Colossian church, or we, believe these things and stray, it would injure the unity that we have vertically with Jesus. And if that unity is injured, it will also harm the unity that we have together inside the body. And why is that? Why is that? And Paul gives us an idea of why that is in verse 5. And I know this is a phrase that a lot of people like to use. Well, I'm not with you in body, but I'm with you in spirit. You ever heard that before? You know, I'm not there together with you right now, but I'm there with you in spirit. Well, that comes from the Apostle Paul. And why is it that he can say that? He knows that he's not physically there with that church, but he knows that they are all connected by the Holy Spirit. Every believer in the Lord Jesus is connected by His Spirit, and so He can say to them, in a sense, I am there with you in spirit. And so the unity that we have with Jesus, we are connected to Him by the Spirit of God that He gives to us, but we are also connected to each other by that same Spirit. And so if it is broken, in a sense, or harmed in any way, our fellowship with one another is also harmed. Does that make sense? That we are connected by the Spirit of God, and so if it is somehow injured, our fellowship with one another, that unity that we desire, is also injured. So let me summarize where we are. Let me summarize. So hopefully everybody in this gathering today can see what we're striving for in this church. We are all striving for what Paul says in verse 2, to reach. This is really to reach a knowledge of Him. A deeper understanding of who Jesus is and what He wants for my life. That's what we're all striving for. And in the Old Testament, it would have been something like this. What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we could say that what God desires for us is to grow in our love for Him, our knowledge of Him, and also through Jesus, Jesus being God. We should be growing with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, giving it more and more toward Jesus. And so not just my understanding of Him, but my desire for Him, my love for Him, and also my effort, all of my strength should go toward growing in knowledge of Jesus. Now, comfort and ease should not be our main priority. Again, it is going to take work for us to get to where God wants us to be. And so how do we attain that deeper understanding of Jesus? And so Paul tells us a key element to that is the unity of love that we have for each other. And so a lack of love in a church is a sure hindrance. It is a sure hindrance to the growth of the whole body. And so what breaks our unity? A lack of love for each other, or a false teaching that breaks the connection or the unity that we have with one another and with Jesus. So the application for us should be pretty clear this morning. Should be pretty clear. So if you are devoted to growing in your understanding of Jesus Christ, and I hope that everybody in this room is, that you've come in here this morning with a desire to know Him more tomorrow than you do today. You want to know Jesus Christ. If you want that, you must be devoted in growing in your love for this body. You must be devoted to growing in your love for this congregation. So you can get to that certain level of knowledge on your own, but you need all of these people here. You need all of these people here pulling together, sacrificing with one another for all of us to grow into the mature person that God desires for us to be. And so we all need to ask ourselves a question this morning, okay? Is there any believer here, and not just here, okay? Is there any believer in the body of Christ that I am refusing to love? Is there any person that I am not loving as God desires for me to? Is there anybody here that I am not willing to sacrifice for? And so when you come in here on Sunday mornings, as you're walking through the hallway, are you afraid that you're going to come into contact with somebody? And if you do, I'm going to go the opposite direction. Or if I have to have a conversation with that person, I'm not even going to talk to them. I don't even want to talk to them. I'll just avoid them at all costs. Is there anybody like that for you that you would prefer to avoid? And you need to know this morning, if you refuse to love anybody in the body of Christ, refuse to reconcile with them, your growth as a believer will be stunted. It will be halted. It cannot go any further because you are not loving the body of Christ. You are not loving with the same kind of love that God has given to you, which means something about the gospel is not getting through in your mind. You're not understanding it in your heart of what God truly has done for you. That he actually went and loved the unlovely. He went and loved the unlovely. Every person in here was unlovely to God. We were in rebellion against him. We were sinners against him. We were weak. There was nothing in us that commended ourselves to God, but he still loved us anyway and sent his son for us. He sacrificed for us. He carried that burden for us. So is there anybody in the congregation, in the body of Christ, that you say, I refuse to love them? Because if that is the case, you are not loving them like God in Christ loved you. I hope that makes sense. And so the gospel is all about a change of lifestyle, a learning to forgive people that you used to think were unforgivable, and loving people that you don't see as lovely. We all love the people that are just naturally lovable to us, right? Everybody does that. Whether they're inside the church or outside the church, everyone loves the lovely. But the gospel is so different. It turns the world upside down. And we start to love those people that we used to say we didn't have any desire or attraction to at all. That's why I say when we come together on Sunday mornings in this place, this is the only time that this group of people, or the only way this particular group of people would gather together in any forum. We're not going to be all part of the Rotary Club or the Lions Club. We're all not going to go to a Buffalo Bills game together. We would not show up in any other place other than this. That's what the church is all about. It turns our world upside down, and we do things we would not have done before because the love of God now exists inside of us. So that is why Paul in this passage can say we need to be knit together in love, because that means we know the love of God. We understand the love of God if we will love the unlovely. And so if that describes you, that you come into this place on Sunday mornings, or maybe you've even, you know, I've been scared to come because I know that person is going to be there. I just don't want to run into them. I won't have a conversation with them. If that is you, then you just need to know that your maturity will not progress beyond a certain point. If you want to know the treasure trove of who Jesus is, if you want to plumb those depths, if you want to go there and grow in your knowledge of him, you must love his church, which we call his body. That's an amazing thing to be. That's an amazing truth that is connected to our growth, and I hope that we will all seek to apply that. And so is there anybody here? As you look around to your right and your left, you don't want to look at them? I haven't looked at them in 5 years. Well, I hope that you can now. And I hope that you can seek to reconcile because you want to grow in your maturity with Jesus Christ. I hope that describes our church. And so Paul says here in verse 2 that he wants to encourage this people. He wants to encourage them with this. And so if you find yourself somewhat discouraged this morning, you come in here, you're just discouraged. You're tired, you're worn down, you just don't want to go anymore. That describes you. You need to know that the path that God lays out for us in Scripture, there is greater joy to be had in this than anything that you would choose on your own. So you think that your life would just be easier if that person wasn't there anymore? You think your life would be easier, that you'd find more joy if they just disappeared off the face of the earth? Well, the Bible tells us there is greater joy to be had in doing things God's way, loving the unlovable, than there would be if you could just get rid of them. More maturity will be gained by loving those people. Do you believe that? Because that's what the Word of God says to us this morning. And so, our hope here in this church is to grow more and more together in our relationships, our unity. So you're going to be hearing about it soon. But our hope is to encourage the people at CAS to do a couple of things to hopefully build our unity and our love together as time goes on. The first thing is that we'd like for you to get involved in a Sunday morning Bible study. We want you to get involved in a Sunday morning Bible study so that your mind could be engaged with the Scriptures. We have some very good teachers here that are leading these studies, and we're going to be starting some new ones soon. And so hopefully we'll come together, we'll learn more about Jesus together, but in those particular forums, that you would grow together in your relationships with each other. You get to know somebody that you did not know before. So that's our hope. Please get involved in a Sunday morning Bible study. And second, we're also going to be launching what are going to be called growth groups, where groups of three or four people are going to get together and talk about the Bible. They're going to hold one another accountable so that we'll be growing in our purity and in our holiness. We all need other people in our lives holding us to a certain standard of righteousness that we see in the Word of God. So we don't need to do that on our own. We need other people in our lives helping us to do that. And we hope that these groups will come together and do that and pray together and for one another. And so we want to see relationships grow. And as they do, I think love and unity here will be strengthened. And we've already seen that if love and unity are growing, so will our maturity as followers of Jesus Christ. And so the first application, pretty obvious, that we need to unify in love as a church. And the second thing that we need to do is stand firm. Stand firm as the gospel, in the gospel that, as we see it in Scripture. Not wavering when the culture stands against us and says, to stay vigilant against the words that would detract from the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And so I think you probably know where I could be going with this, but there's all sorts of voices out there in the culture that would say, you know what, just give that up, man. That was applicable so long ago. That does not apply to our culture anymore. We believe that the Word of God is sufficient for all times and in all cultures. We do not need to be willing to sacrifice anything that it says here, because the wisdom of God will last forever in Christ, and He has given us His wisdom in His Word. We need to stand firm. So that's why Paul says he wants to see their good order and the firmness of faith in Christ. The very thing that He delivered to them when they first believed, they need to hold fast to it until Jesus returns again. And that is what we need to be doing, knowing that if we sacrifice God's Word or God's standard, we sacrifice our unity with the gospel and with each other. I think you've probably noticed as you've looked around culture that many of our mainline denominations have gradually declined. Over the years, as liberalism has sunk in more and more, that's going to continue to happen. Churches die when they lose the gospel. Churches die when they lose the gospel. This always needs to be a place where people can come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we hope God will keep us strong as long as we're here until He sends His Son back for us. And so the culture needs this strangeness. I think part of our desire is to be relevant. You've probably heard that word a number of times. We'll be relevant to the culture. We want the culture to listen to us, but when we have something to say, it's going to sound weird to them, okay? The gospel is weird. It's supposed to be weird. It's about bloody crosses and empty tombs. And we tell people that someday a man that was once dead is going to come back in the sky for His people, and we're all going to meet Him in the air. I mean, that's always going to sound strange, isn't it? I mean, that's always going to sound strange, but that is the gospel that we cling to. That's the hope that we have. So we don't ever need to lose our strangeness to the culture. We just simply believe that if we are faithful with it, God will change the hearts that He wants to change. We just bring the gospel to the people. God will open up their hearts to receive it. We can only do so much. We can only persuade so far. This weird gospel that we preach, God will reach their hearts with it. So let's not lose our strangeness, folks, because if we do, we've lost the gospel. We're going to close now with the main point that I hope that you take away from our time together this morning, okay? And so if you or this church here at CAS, desires to do what Paul says in verse 2, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of Christ. If we want to go further into His wisdom, this treasure that we desire to go deeper into, this is what we have to do. You must keep the gospel and your love for the church, the people here. We must keep those firm and pure. And so again, is there anybody in this church that you're not loving? Or is there any teaching that is bringing you away from the true gospel that you first heard? Because folks, this is our work. This is our aim. This is not just Paul's aim. Everybody here should be making it the priority of your life that you would grow deeper with Jesus. These are things that we must do if we desire to mature in Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You that in it, God, You teach us how we can grow deeper in our knowledge of Your Son. So I'm asking, Lord, that each person that is here this morning would apply what they have heard today, apply it to their life, so that, Lord, we would love one another in this church, that we would be unified as a body. As we're unified in love, Lord, that we would know Jesus more and more. We would experience more of His love through His people. Because we have His Spirit, Lord, we can minister to each other. We can encourage one another. We can comfort each other during difficult times. We can carry one another's burdens and sacrifice for each other. Even those people that we do not think naturally to be lovely, we find them lovely in Christ. Would You grant that to us, God? Please give us favor in this place that we would find that type of love here. And as we find it, we would find more and more of Your Son. And we ask these things in His name. And we trust that You hear us through Him. Amen. And so again, as we leave this place this morning, please take this word with you and know that the worship that we had together today, the fellowship that we had with one another, it does not stop and then start back when we get together next Sunday. It continues into the week as we go outside of these doors. You are dismissed.